This evening, we're talking about Preach the Word, and as I talk about Preach the Word, I'm not saying every single one of us needs to stand on a stage and preach. Some people don't do well with standing on a stage and preaching, although some people think they would do horribly, but would actually try it and find out they were called to do it. I remember when it comes to preaching the Word, I remember my dad. Growing up, my dad made me do all kinds of stuff that at the time I hated. I hated song leading, and my dad would say, well, you need to learn how to do this, son. And so he'd take me up, and he'd help me song lead. And we started with me standing there like a scared little boy sitting here, and my dad standing here. My dad would start and then just kind of, bam, nudge me to go with him. And then we worked on it where eventually then I was moving my hands, and I had no idea why I was moving my hands. And then my dad would sit in the front row and start it for me. So I'm the scared little boy looking, and he started it for me. And then it got to eventually I did it myself. And the same thing happened with preaching. And I remember my dad would write out word for word my lessons, and I would preach and I would teach it, and I would literally stand there and you couldn't hear me because it was here, and I was reading and mumbling as fast as I possibly could just so I could sit down. I would do that, and I just hated it, I remembered. And then my dad would eventually start getting me to, okay, he would help me write the lesson, and then when he would stop standing beside me as I read, and he started sitting in the front as I read, and then he would allow me to write the lesson, and he would just edit the lesson as he sat in front and I read it, and then it became more and more about me learning how to do it without him. And then our preacher did something with myself and my best friend and about four or five other guys in the church, and did a I forgot what he called it, but it was basically how to present a lesson. And he walked us through this book that I never dreamed in my life I would be using in undergrad by Haddon Robinson, called Biblical Preaching. And he walked us through the first edition of that book and got our confidence up. And then I remember I went to school and I said, well, I had enough of song leading. I don't like that. And I had enough of preaching. I don't like that because my dad made me do it. So I'm going to go be a youth minister like Charlie. I remember thinking, I don't want to do any of that. And then I was a youth minister. And then I started realizing that's exactly what I wanted to do. Preach. And when we talk about preaching the word, in my context, it does mean I stand in front of the congregation and I preach and I teach people one-on-one and in groups. But preaching the word, preach really just means to proclaim. The idea to just go and proclaim something, to go and share something with someone else. And so when we talk about preaching the word, we're talking about sharing God, sharing his message, sharing his word with those who will listen, not just standing on a stage. Now there is preaching where you're only standing on a stage. But I'm telling you, the most effective, the most impactful proclaiming there is what you guys do every day. And so when I look at the Word of God, we need to preach something, and we need to preach something important. We don't preach our preferences. We don't preach our likes. We don't preach our hobbies. We don't preach anything. What we're called to preach is the Word of God, and we'll see that in a moment. But we have to understand that we preach the Word of God, but we preach it to others. We proclaim it. We teach it to others for a specific reason. And I think the psalmist had that reason down. Turn with me to Psalm 119 before we get to the main text. Psalm 119, there's a lot of verses, and we're not going to read all of them tonight. But in Psalm 119, starting in verse 97, it said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me." Can you say that you love the word, the law of God so much that you meditate on it all day long, that you think about it, that you dwell on it, that you want to know more about it, you want to study about it? And he says that it makes him wiser than others, than the enemies around him. For it is always with me. I have more understanding in verse 99 than all of my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The psalmist here, he begins by saying how much he loves the law of God. The law of God was the Old Testament. For us, it's the scripture. He loves the teachings of God. In fact, he loved them so much, he wanted to follow them so much, he spent as much time as possible thinking on it. And because of that, he was able to be wiser than the enemy. Because of that, he was able to have more understanding than even teachers. And I believe this is talking about even worldly teachers here. But he fell in love with the Word of God. He saw the Word of God as giving wisdom and understanding. He saw it as being something that was desired in his life. If you don't regularly pick up the Word of God, ask, do I really see it as something I need? Do I really thirst for it? Because when I'm thirsty for a soda, I get a soda. Are we really thirsty for the Word if we don't pick it up and drink from it? But he does continue. In verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. Notice how often everything comes back to one thing. It's what we call the Old Testament. It's the teachings of God that the psalmist had. The wicked have laid, in verse 10, a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I'm not going to ask us to raise hands, but how many of us feel this way about the Word of God? How many of us are so in love with what God has decided to share with us that we gush over it, if you will? That we're excited to drink from it. We're excited. We can't wait to pick it up. That it drives everything in us. That we internalize it the best we can. And we rely on it when everything else falls away. You see, as we talk about preaching or proclaiming or sharing the word, we have to understand that the word is not able to be shared to its most effectiveness if we don't buy into it. If we don't believe it, if we don't love it like the psalmist loved it. You see, if I share scripture with someone, and if I'm standing here and I'm sharing, well, you know, God says, I can tell someone, God says, I came to give life, to give it to the fullest. That's different from saying, well, God kind of said he wanted you to have a good life, but you know, does God really know what he's talking about? Or God said something about that, but I'm not quite sure. If we buy in to the word, if we understand the word, if we love the word, when we preach the word, we will be much more successful. Because they will see the changing word in our lives changing us. They will see the word that has the power to renew life, the power to change you and I, the power to free us from sin. They'll see it in action in our life. So as we talk about what the word of God does, as we talk about why we should preach the word of God, keep in mind it will only be as effective as the one who is, as we said this morning, rightly handling it and sharing it with others. It begins, the preaching of the word begins with a love for the word. Preaching of the word begins with love for the word. Have you guys seen ministers, whether they're on TV, whether in a church you visited, or a Bible teacher, or if you went to a Christian academy, someone there that taught the Bible? Have you ever seen someone that didn't love the word that taught it versus someone who did? There's a difference in how they teach, isn't there? Not that everyone is always excited and bubbly and happy. We all have our days. But the people who it's just the same old thing over and over, there's a distinct way that they teach versus the one who delights and loves the Word of God. And it's the same with you when you talk about the Word of God. You give nonverbals. You give little cues through how you say things, through when your eyes light up, to those who you share the Word with about, do you really buy this? Do you really love the word? So with that in mind, trudging ahead, we're going to assume and decide that we're going to love the word of God. And let's talk about as we love and the word of God. And I guess technically this should have been the very first point, but it's not. The point of love God first. That's why we share it. I do want to look at four other reasons, I guess, of why we ought to preach the word, why we ought to share the word. Four other things, basically, that God's word does. And that's going to be found in the book of 2 Timothy. Please turn to 2 Timothy with me. In 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4, we see scriptures that are probably very, very known to us. And in 2 Timothy, we see some instruction by the Apostle Paul. And it starts out in chapter 3. We see the first instruction coming in 14, but let's start in verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus in faith. So it not only says to continue in what you have learned, to hold firmly to your belief, but it also gives us a cue as to something that God's word does, as to a reason why we ought to preach the word. And that is because God's word reveals salvation to us. God's word reveals salvation. It says, again, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. What is able to make you wise? The sacred writings, it says. Sacred writings is the word of God. You see, we've got people running all over the world right now, all over the United States and all over Baytown, saying, you want to be saved? You do this, you do that, you say a prayer. All you have to do is jump on your feet and shout hallelujah. Do whatever you want. Just as long as you just say, Jesus, I love you, you'll be saved. You see, that's not wise. That's not truth. It's not knowledge, is it? Because it says we don't go to an individual for direction on what brings salvation. We go to what? The sacred writings. It's not Josh's opinion or what Josh makes up or what Josh hears Billy Graham or somebody else say that makes me understand salvation. It's sacred writings. You see, the sacred writings reveals salvation. Not just the process of salvation, but it reveals the meaning of salvation. Remember Paul in Romans, when Paul is writing and they're sinning and they're sinning and they're sinning, and Paul says, what? Should we go on sinning so that grace can just bound upon us? So that grace can just abound? No way, Jose. He says no. We died to our old self. You see, the sacred writings reveal not just how to obtain salvation, but what salvation means. It means we die to sin, that we live a new life, that we leave it behind us, doesn't it? Why do we proclaim the word of God? Because God's word reveals salvation, not just how to gain it, but what it means in our life. It reveals salvation. We also preach the word of God because the word of God, his word, it offers training. So sometimes we preach the word of God to non-Christians, don't we? We reveal salvation to non-Christians. And we often reveal salvation, the meaning of salvation, to Christians, young Christians, new Christians. But we also preach the word of God. We teach it. We proclaim it. Because the word of God offers training. Because the word of God teaches us how to do things. It equips us, if you will, for what we are called to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16, look with me. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that every man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. We have the word of God not only to share salvation with us, but to equip us to do the work of God, to equip us to do what God has called us to be, so that we can be those honorable vessels, if you will, that we talked about this morning. We share God's word, not just for salvation. You see, that was how it was done back in the day, and the meaning was well, and honestly, in the time, in the 50s, 60s, and maybe even 70s, the meaning, well, technically it'd be 60s, 70s, and early 80s, the meaning was well when they would preach the word and they baptized by the thousands, and then they'd go on with their life. And what happened? You had all these Christians over here who just became a Christian, and they were revealed salvation to them by the word of God, but they lacked what? Training. They weren't equipped to work because somebody held an evangelistic meeting, and Neil Pryor or Jimmy Allen came to that, or whoever was famous in Texas for doing it. And they would do it, and they did a great job, and they did what they were asked to do and what God had called them to do. But the church was not prepared to train those converts. Now, I got to say, most of those converts stuck it out and did amazing things, didn't they? We saw churches get planted like crazy. We saw all kinds of cool things happen. So you got to give credit. But imagine what would happen if more and more churches would proclaim, preach, share God's word so that they can train Christians. In Ephesians, I love this verse when it talks about this. Turn with me to Ephesians quickly. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, we see the exact same idea. Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists," now often evangelists are seen as the preachers, especially in the Northeast, "the shepherds," in other words, the elders, "and teachers," Sunday school teachers, Bible class teachers for adults, one-on-one Bible study teachers, evangelistic teachers. He gave the teachers who train the teachers, to do all the work. Is that what it says? What does it say? Here, let's all read it together. "He gave them all to equip the saints for the work of ministry." We're going to do it one more time together. "He gave them to equip the saints for the work of ministry." Now, that's not saying we don't work. It's saying that part of the reason we have the word of God is not just to reveal salvation, but to equip us, to teach us, so that we can go. Remember in Matthew 28, 18 and following, Jesus says, go and do all this stuff and teach them to obey. It involves an action. And when we equip for the work of ministry, notice what it says at the end of this. It says, for the building up of the body of Christ. We equip for the building of up. You guys have the Word of God. Not just so you can find and learn, not just so it reveals salvation, but so that you can be trained and train others. One of the things I do, and it's not the only way, my dad does it a different way, and you do it a different way probably, and I know I've got friends who do evangelism a different way, but one of the ways I do it is I have a workbook that they go home with, and they work on it, and then when we get together and talk, we're talking about what they've already read and done, and I do that for a few reasons. One reason is so that they don't feel pressured to have the right answer. They have time to digest it and think about it. But the other thing I do is they wade through that workbook, lesson after lesson, whatever speed they want to go, I'm willing to go it with them. But they wade through that workbook, and then they come and they study, and by the time they finish the workbook, by the time they decide to become a Christian, and whether they become a Christian before finishing the workbook or after or during or whatever it is, what I tell them is I say, the reason you have this workbook is so you always have something to reference and so that you always have something that you can use to teach your children, your grandchildren, your friends, and your family. And I tell them, I'm willing to go with you. We've got others in the church that are willing to go with you, but you always have something to fall back on. Why? Because I don't want the Word of God only to reveal salvation. I want them to understand the Word of God trains them to be active in the kingdom. And it's the same. Every booklet I have them do, I have a series of discipleship booklets. I think I've got 5 or 6 booklets total that I'll take them through before I launch them off, or I try to get them through before they launch off. It's not because I want control of their minds. It's because I want them to not only have that revelation of salvation and understanding of it, but I want them to have things that equips them for when their family starts asking, why are you doing this? Tell me about God. Why is baptism important? Why do you go to church? Why do you do communion? Why do you do these things? Because at the end of the day, I am more than happy for them to call me or you. But at the end of the day, Scripture says we are all to give an answer. Be ready in season and out, and we'll get to that Scripture in a moment, to give an answer. Why do we preach the Word? Because the Word reveals salvation and offers training. But the Word of God also provides us direction. It also provides us direction. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. You ever known someone who does that? You ever known someone who they call the people they know that's going to agree with them, not the people who they really need to discuss with them? Here it says some people go and they have itching ears and they seek after those who will, they surround themselves with those who agree. And that's not healthy. But look, in verse 4 it says, it will turn away them away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, and I love this, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. It provides direction. And by direction, what I mean here is not just the compass. And we talk about in the Old Testament a lot about it. It provides this compass, this direction of what direction to go. But this provides a specific direction on what we're to do with Scripture. It provides us a specific direction of who we're supposed to be, of what the scripture is useful for. While it's repeating some stuff in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, preach the word. That's the directive. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready for what? To rebuke, to reprove, to exhort. Notice, you've ever met the people that they love the reprove and rebuke part, but they forget the exhort part, the patience part, and the teaching part? You see, we're given a directive. We're given a job. The Word of God, we proclaim, we teach, we share the Word of God, not just because it tells us about salvation and it trains us, but because it gives us a mission, a directive. It empowers us to use it. But I think that the Word of God is also useful because it encourages the worker. As we talk to people, as we share with them the Word, whether it's from a stage, whether it's in a Bible class, whether it's on the road or in the home or in the workplace, we don't just need to stop at salvation. We need to continue showing that the Word of God offers training that we all need, offers equipping that we all need. And that equipping and that training comes from the Word of God, but also comes from those God has placed in your life to help the Word of God be instilled in you, to help mold you into what God has planned for your life, so that you can become someone equipped for good works. We need to proclaim the Word of God, not just to give them salvation, not just to give them some training, but so that we can give them empowerment and direction on what they are to do with the Word of God when they face evil, when they face good. That it's not only for reproof and rebuke, but it's also for love, for building up one another. But we also need to preach the Word of God. And I think this is vital. We also need to preach the Word of God because the Word of God encourages the workers. There is nothing more encouraging than the Word of God in our darkest moments. There is nothing more encouraging. We talked about Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 and how he says God takes him out and shows him the stars and says, Abram, your descendants will be as numerous as the seashore here. And Abram goes, well, what are you talking about? And I'm giving the gist, but basically he says, you're promising me all this stuff, but I don't even have my own son to give it to. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to give you a son. And you know what? Even after that son, your descendants will go into Egypt for 400 years. But don't worry, they're going to come back and possess what's rightfully theirs. See, when I'm down, it's helpful to see the Word of God, see the stories, the promises of God that he fulfilled in the old days, to remind me, buck up, God always follows through on his promises. God never, ever lets his people down. If God says, I'm going to do it, God does it. We can rest assured in that. The Word of God offers encouragement. It encourages us in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 4 to be sober-minded, to be clear in thinking. It encourages us to endure during times of suffering. It encourages us to go about the work of an evangelist. Yes, I know this is to Timothy, but remember, we all are called to share the gospel, the love of God. The Word of God can encourage us to fulfill the ministry God has called us to, even when we don't fill up to the task like Moses. Why do we preach the Word of God? Why do we share? Why do we proclaim God's Word? It's because it reveals salvation, offers training, provides direction, and encourages the worker. What do we share? What's the bottom line? According to Christ, according to Galatians, and all of Scripture, remember what Jesus says. The law and the prophets are summarized in this. Love God and love others. Why do we preach the Word of God? Not only because all those things that God's Word does, but because we are preaching a message of love. And not only are we preaching that message, but when we share this with others, when we share salvation, when we share in training, when we share in giving direction and empowering and when we share in encouragement, we are not only sharing love, we are participating in love. This week, I want to challenge you to preach the word, to be ready in season and out, to preach the word no matter what, in a loving way. Not just for salvation, but for all the word is meant to do. And watch what God is able to do through you. Let's end in prayer and then we'll be dismissed.